You're listening to the Best of Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Lloyd's Electric Service, Truly Hard Seltzer, MyBookie, and Volunteer Vodka.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things, powered by Lloyd's Electric. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam, Cody Mack.
Doing fine, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How's your Tuesday morning?
Tuesday's off and running. It's fine. Tuesday's good.
Into Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, no, Tuesday's off to a fine start. No big deal. Just kind of here, man. You know what I mean? Just trying to get through the day.
Just kind of living, huh?
Just kind of living. Tuesday, yeah. Tuesday's a rough day. I don't really like Tuesdays. Tuesday is my least. I don't know like what it was 2 years ago whenever we did our power rankings, but like if we did power rankings now, Tuesday is probably my least favorite day of the week.
Yeah, I think it probably ranks up there for most people, and being the worst day. Now you could say Monday's worse, but I think Tuesday's at least in everybody's top two.
I appreciate Mondays. I've told you that. I appreciate Mondays because at least you have like the new beginning. You're fresh, starting fresh. Like, hey, let's knock out some things. Let's go out. Let's get this week start off on a good foot. But Tuesday, I'm just like, nothing good comes on TV. There's not one good thing that comes on TV on Tuesdays.
Nope, unless you got a team in the baseball playoffs. And if you don't,
neither one of us do.
No. So
now next week we'll get the tip off of the NBA season. So maybe Tuesdays will start improving a little bit because usually you could find an NBA game on at that point. But nothing good like outside of sports comes on TV on Tuesdays. It's just kind of a waste.
Well, I mean, soon Tuesday will be gone with the wind. And we'll move on to Wednesday, and Wednesday is a great day. I mean, I like Wednesdays. Maybe you should start a tradition on Tuesdays so you could improve the day for yourself.
Okay. You know, I lived downtown. We could get tacos on Tuesday, but that was short-lived. That just didn't – that wasn't enough to boost the day.
Yeah. You'd have to start, like, some kind of weekly thing you do every Tuesday. Like,
we power rank NFL teams on Tuesdays.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, like an activity or something, you know?
Yeah.
You should Tuesday start night. Taking, like, piano lessons or something.
I can't. My fingers are too short. B, my thumb broken too many times. It stiffs up, so, like, I can't.
All right.
My hands aren't good.
Maybe singing lessons.
A little too late for that, too. But I like That's where you're not headed. Too late. I like where you're headed. Maybe start a Tuesday activity.
Yeah,
but
like.
It's going to be hard to start an activity now in the winter. Sitting there, start getting dark pretty soon. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, like, after five, it's going to be hard to do anything outside.
Maybe
you can't like start playing tennis or something. That wouldn't be bad.
Well,
Tuesday tennis. There's even alliteration there.
You could take up hunting. It's hunting season. Maybe start shooting a crossbow.
I feel like it'd be tough. Got to get up early in the morning to do that, but maybe I could do that.
You could do it in the evening too, though. The people that get really into it, they'll wake up and go early before work, and they'll go after work, right before it gets dark.
You know, I was looking at, you know, off my back porch and all those woods out there. I was like, kind of, you know what? There'd be plenty of deer just like rummaging around out. I could maybe just bow hunt right there from my porch. I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
That's your land, isn't it? Right there behind
Yeah.
I mean, you
wouldn't
could
be bothering anybody.
I mean, could you do it from the porch? Maybe you have to put like a tree stand on into the woods a bit. I don't know. I don't know how
I don't
far
know.
The
deer get out in the yard sometimes. I mean, I haven't seen them in my yard. It's the first fall I've been in my house, but like at. You know, if you drive through the country, you'll see deer just kind of rummaging around in fields. And, I mean, it looks like a field down there. I mean, it's...
Is that hunting?
No. No, it's not. To me, hunting is you have to, like, put work into it and track. And, like, I don't even feel like sitting in a tree stand and shooting things or hunting. Like,
really, it's not. I mean, if you got,
just
like...
just waiting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you got, like, a feeder nearby.
Oh, that's real cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, like, down, you know, like, on the farm, we have these feeders that we have for calves and stuff, right? So, like... you just hang out near there, man. The Any type of animal you want to hunt will eventually make its way there to pick some grain and eat some feed.
Yeah.
So you could really just wait there. That's not really hunting.
No, it's really not.
Neither would be sitting on my porch and shooting, but it would be an activity at least.
Can you actually hunt a deer, though, in the terms of what hunting originally meant?
I think so.
What it meant?
I think so. You'd have to be really good, but you could find some trails, some poop. Get down and feel it and say, this is warm, I'm close.
Have to be very quiet.
Very quiet.
Very, very quiet.
Very, very. No, I think it's possible.
Just tiptoe through the woods.
Yeah.
Get eaten by a bear.
You can go. I know people who have gone and like looked and like, oh, here's some horn markings where they've been rubbing up on the tree. There's a buck nearby. Like, you could do that and kind of get an idea of where they hang out. I think that goes into the equation of hunting.
You just have
maybe that's where people are putting their tree stands. I don't know.
Yeah, you just have to learn to do that, I guess.
Yeah, or could just complain and be miserable on Tuesdays and just then just...
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe start, I don't know.
A new HBO show or something.
I'm out of HBO shows. I was actually about to cancel my subscription.
You're out?
I've seen everything I need to see. Like, there might be one I need to run through, but I was thinking, it's already through two seasons. I might as well wait till like, right before... season 3 comes on, then just kind of binge those and be ready to go just then. Like, there's only one show on HBO right now that I haven't watched that I'm kind of like, you know what, I wouldn't mind watching that. And that's Barry with Bill Hader. I was kind of like, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that. And I guess I still need to go back and watch Deadwood, so I guess there's another one like I wouldn't mind watching. But right now there's no current HBO shows on. Succession ended on Sunday, so I'm ready to save that $15 a month.
What about The Righteous Gemstones?
Already watched it. It's over.
The whole thing?
I mean, the first season.
Yeah. I watched the first couple episodes.
You know, usually HBO is good at staggering this and, like, putting, you know, one show ends, another good show begins, and I'm sorry, but the deuce ain't doing it for me. You know what I mean? Like, I can get by without the deuce. I'll just save this $15 a month.
You could rewatch Game of Thrones.
Nope.
Sopranos.
I thought about going back and rewatching Curb, but I could do that anytime. Do that in the summer, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think I'm ready to cancel HBO. Kendall said she has to watch the last couple episodes of Ballers. I don't know why she watches that, but she's got to... I mean, I know why she watches it. She loves The Rock. That's why she watches it. But, like, I guess she's just wanting to get through. It's the series finale happened, so... She's got to watch a couple of those episodes, and then I can save that $15 a month.
Maybe find something on Netflix.
Yeah, I've been doing that. Like, I mean, I've been... Looking around on Netflix, been looking around on Amazon Prime, you know, Fleabag, watched some of that. You know, that's critically acclaimed. It was all right. It's so all right so far. I like it. Been watching this hip hop, like American Idol show on Netflix. I found it to be somewhat entertaining. I'm branching out. Not like actually reading or exercising or doing anything of that, but just like finding more things to watch.
Finding different TV shows.
Yeah. Rotting my brain in different ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is 2019.
Last night's Monday Night Football game was kind of tough to watch. Not in the sense of it wasn't entertaining because it was, but it was just tough to watch like and not feel like it was, I don't want to call it fixed, I don't want to call it rigged, but just like the officiating was about as bad as it could get in that game, and it cost the Lions a win. And that's a huge game. That's a division game. If the Lions can go into Green Bay and steal that on the road, the Lions might have been in the driver's seat of that NFC North, right? Like, I mean, I know they got a weird tie that's going to throw that schedule off a little bit, but that would have given them a win on the road against Green Bay, which is obviously huge for tiebreaker purposes, although, again, with a tie on your schedule, tiebreakers don't mean much, but it gives you a win and gives your rival a loss. That was brutal to watch. That was poorly, poorly officiated. We'll talk about that game. We'll hit our week six, our post-week six NFL power rankings. Maybe we'll talk some fantasy today. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Talk Sports is powered by Lloyd's Electric Service. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. commercial, industrial, and residential. Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at lloydselectricservice.com. Lloyd's Electric Service, your business, our priority. I don't know what to think about that game coming out of last night. I feel like the Lions were the better team. The Lions lost. The Packers win again, but I can't help but acknowledge that it was with the real assistance from the officiating crew. There were two just pretty bad hands-of-the-face penalties where it looks like the defensive end got his hand on the shoulder pad, and the offensive lineman either got pushed back and had his head pushed back or just kind of threw it back to try to sell it. Both of those ended up in flags. Both of those extended the drives. On one, it would have resulted in the Lions getting the ball back, up 9, late in the second half. Instead, it extended a clock. It extended the drive on what would have been 4th and 20. Instead, it's a first down, and the Packers score a touchdown. Which, by the way, that throw from Aaron Rodgers on that touchdown, it's about as pretty as it gets. Rodgers dropped one into a bucket from 40-something yards out. That was beautiful, but it shouldn't have happened. Now there's a clip going around the internet of the Packers getting away with 13 men on the field on a Lions offensive play. Now, I don't have as much sympathy for that one because the Lions would have had a chance to challenge that, and their coaching staff didn't see it either. So the refs should have caught it, but the Detroit Lions and Matt Stafford and their coaching staff, they should have seen it too, right? Like, I think you should notice if you're playing against 13 defenders. But it was just another example of an officiating mistake that the Lions had to deal with. But it comes down to wins and losses, and the Lions are 2-2-1, and in a crowded NFC, that might cost them a playoff spot. Last night was a bad loss. No ways around it. They can feel like they got cheated, but it doesn't matter. They lost 2-2-1, whereas the Packers win again. First place, survived. What did you make of that game last night?
Well, the Lions used their timeouts perfectly. They got the stop on third down, so they should have at least gotten the ball back. Now, they wouldn't have had any timeouts. They would have had a minute and, I don't know, close to a minute and a half, I guess.
But in the NFL has plenty of time to get a field goal.
They would have had some time to get down and maybe kick a game-winning field goal, and I think it's ridiculous that they didn't get a chance to do that. I mean, that hands-to-the-face penalty was egregious. You know,
it was the second time it had gotten called, and the first one was just as bad. Like,
I mean, it's just guys battling. It's guys playing football, you know?
And it wasn't even one of those instances where, like, you're playing and your hand slips up on the face for half a second and you go back down.
No.
It looks like the hand never actually made it to the face.
It never went above the face mask. It never touched the chin even.
Yeah.
I mean, he was up. Yeah, it was high. But, I mean, that's just – I mean, he's on his pads. He's on his neck or whatever. I mean, it was an awful penalty. If I was a Lions fan, I would feel cheated too. But you know the thing they always say is, that, you know, if you don't want to bother with getting cheated, have yourself in a better situation.
Sure, like play, we didn't lose this game because of one play. We got to take care of business otherwise.
Right, you know. So if you can look at it two ways, but I mean, it was obviously an awful call. Everybody that saw it said it was an awful call. Booger, he was freaking out about it. He went on with SVP after the game. They were talking about it. SVP thought it was awful. All you had to do was look and see. It's awful.
Everyone acknowledges that it was awful, and I wonder if we'll get to a point where that can be reviewed. Like, we're reviewing pass interference, which, you know, that's a whole other topic of conversation because we're reviewing pass interference, but we've only overturned, like, one. The last, like, 4 or 5 weeks, we've only overturned one. But do you eventually put it, well, hey, that's a big call. Like, it's maybe not a 40 or 50 yard play like pass interference is, but it was a huge swing in last night's game. Do we get to the point where we're reviewing that? Oh, actually, he didn't put his hands in the face. If they even did allow it to be reviewed, would they ever overturn him? I don't know. The officiating just has to get better. But either way, the Packers get to 5-1, which we talk about scheduling. And we've talked a lot about the Patriots' easy schedule, right? I do think we should point out that so far the Packers have had six games, and four of them have been at Lambeau. Next week, they're also at Lambeau. So, like, they're five of their first seven games at home. That seems weird. Really?
Their only road games were what, Chicago and Dallas?
Chicago and Dallas, that is correct. They won both of them, so they've been good on the road.
Yeah.
But I just think that's kind of wild that they're starting, five of their first seven games at home.
They've played better teams, though, right? At least better teams on paper.
No, they've played better teams. They've played better teams. The Bears, Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Cowboys, and Lions. All of those are
all pretty decent teams.
All those are decent teams, the Broncos being the least. But, I mean, the Broncos aren't bad. No, they've had a decent schedule. But just like I said, five of their first seven. The next week's against the Raiders, who are also decent. But five of seven at home. Which, if I'm a Packers fan, I don't know if I want that either. Like, we got home field advantage, like, out in the cold. Like, let's make some of these teams come up to the cold late in the season.
Yeah, put them in November, December.
Yeah, so maybe the Packers aren't even happy that they got five of their first seven, but it allows them to get off to a good start. Now, the back half of that schedule, they still have some tough games. They have to go to Kansas City, to the 49ers, then in their season versus the Bears at home, and then two road games to Minnesota and Detroit. So that's going to be a tough schedule to navigate. They by no means have a playoff spot locked up. They're still going to have to fight. Last night's loss would have been bad for them, but they didn't. They won. And Aaron Rodgers had a pretty good game. Like I said, he threw some really, really pretty passes. Passes that kind of remind you, like, oh, yeah, that's Aaron Rodgers. Like, we talk a lot about Patrick Mahomes. We talk a lot about the new age quarterbacks. The old guard can still do it when they have to. Now, Rodgers' numbers don't look great. They're fine. 24 of 39, 283 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. And the interception was a little bit behind him, but his receiver got hit in the face mask with it. Probably should have been a completion. Could have been a little bit better of a throw. Justin Coleman made a big-time play and picked it off. And at that point, you're like, wow, Justin Coleman's playing so good. But from that moment on, Justin Coleman started getting burnt. Like, he had played a really good game up until that point. He made that big interception, but then all of a sudden, he just started getting shredded.
We were cheering for him.
All of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers like, you know what, let's look at this Allen Lazard guy. Let's keep giving it to him. And that guy just kept making plays, including that really beautiful touchdown on in the end zone on the sideline. That bomb, that 35-yard drop in a bucket.
Yeah, where did Lazard, where did he even come from? I never heard of him.
That's what they asked him after the game. And are
you from?
Well, that's why I'm not going to be too critical of the Packers, because last night maybe they didn't look as good offensively. But then you have to remember, their best offensive player not named Aaron Rodgers is hurt.
Right.
Like, Devontae Adams wasn't out there. And
Geronimo Allison went down too.
Right. And Devontae Adams wasn't out there at the end of the Eagles game either on that last drive. They needed a touchdown. And we kind of take that into account. And maybe I'll just say their best skill player, because that Bakari guy's like an awesome offensive lineman, right?
Bakhtiari,
yeah. Like, he's an elite offensive lineman. So
he did a good job of getting the hands to the face salt.
That's true.
Tilting his head back.
So I don't want to go out and just assume that the wide receiver is the best player they have outside of Aaron Rodgers, because that guy's a stud too. So we'll call Devontae Adams the best skill player. Now, fantasy owners last night, if you owned Aaron Jones, you're probably like, man, we really should have tried to trade him after the Cowboys game, right? Like, we really should have been hitting that trade wire and saying, look, here's a stud running back, because he had an early fumble last night, and then you saw him pretty much get worked out of the rotation. It went back to Jamal Williams, who was good last night. 14 carries, 104 yards, broke a long run. Was doing his thing in the receiving game as well. Rodgers likes dumping it down to him. So that's going to be a little frustrating if you are a fantasy owner. But not as frustrating as if you are a Lions fan who is looking and saying, man, really? Really? Like, we're two plays away from being 4-1. Like, I feel like if, Kerryon Johnson doesn't fumble going into that goal, going into the end zone against the Chiefs, where he fumbles at the goal line and the Chiefs pick it up and run it back for a touchdown when no one else is playing. Like, that play, I'm probably like, man, well, if only that goes differently. That's a 14-point swing. If we get one call right on these hands of the face, we probably win this game. The Lions are good, but at a certain point, you're just like, man, you got to win these close games.
Yeah, they've been in several games where they, you know, they should have won.
But at a certain point, you just got to win them. The Lions can only, like, you can be mad about it, sure, but you can only be so mad when you have to kick 5 field goals, right? Like, when you can't score a touchdown. I mean, that's begging to let the other team come back and beat you when you aren't putting them away with touchdowns. So, like, I only feel so bad for the Lions because a part of me looks and says, yeah, we'll score touchdowns. 7's worth more than 3. Which reminds me, shout out to Matt Prater. I was wondering, like, how the hell did Denver cut him? Like, Denver just gave up on him, and, like, he was out of the league for a little bit, and everyone's like, wait, this guy's a monster. And then the Lions signed him, and he's been a monster for them. Just 5 of 5 from field goals, just hitting 40, 50-yarders like it's nothing. Outdoors in Green Bay. Shout out to him. All right, let's put a bow on week 6 of the NFL season. We'll come back. We'll do some power rankings. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. I need more than power. Rankings.
All right, week 6 is in the books. Time to power rank our NFL teams. Time to put them in our MySpace top 8. Cody McClure, what's your top 8 looking like after week 6?
All right, this is tough. There's a lot of two-loss teams right now that are kind of appealing. Some teams that have gotten back to 4-2 that when you break down their schedule, they actually still look pretty good. I'm going to slide the Vikings in to number 8.
Congratulations to the Minnesota Vikings.
On my list. Congratulations to the Minnesota Vikings. Looking at their schedule, both of their losses have been on the road, you know, in the division on the road. They had a tough loss to Green Bay, 21-16, and then Chicago pretty much handled them. But outside of that, they've been good in every game. I mean, they've won 2 in a row now, beat the Eagles and the Giants, but I think the Vikings are starting to solidify things.
I think the Vikings
Kirk Cousins playing better.
I think they're a top 8 team as well.
Kirk Cousins playing better. Number 7, I'm going to slide the Texans up into number 7. I think they're going to be the class of the AFC South here as things sort out. Obviously a big win on the road at Kansas City. When you look at the rest of their schedule and what the Texans have done, I mean, they're 4-2. They've got some solid wins, you know, nothing too crazy, but they beat the Chiefs, and I think they've got a better win right now than the Bills. So I leave the Bills out, even though the Bills have one fewer loss, just because they hadn't proven anything to them.
Sure, sure.
So Vikings 8, Texans 7. Number 6, I go with the Chiefs. I slide them way down, all the way from 2-6, and yes, I know they just beat the Texans, or the Texans just beat them. Still, whole body of work. I got the Chiefs at 6. Number 5, the 49ers. Paying respect as much as I can to the 49ers.
Seems a little disrespectful still, but either way.
I understand they're undefeated, but they've played one fewer games than the rest of the teams. They'll get ready to host Carolina. That's going to be low-key a pretty good game, I think. Carolina, 4-2. They've won 4 in a row. Thought about putting the Panthers in here, but I didn't. Niners at 5, Seahawks at 4. I still think they're the better team in the division. Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the league right now. But there's 2 better teams in the NFC. I got the Packers at 3. You could say they could have lost last night, but, you know, they didn't. And the Packers keep winning. So I'm going to keep them at number 3. And number 2, the Saints, doing it without Drew Brees. They're not scoring a lot of points. They don't have to. Their defense is very stout. I think they got the second best defense in the league right now, but the best defense, my number 1 team, still the Miami Dolphins. Nah.
Bold.
It's the Patriots.
They did look a lot better when Ryan Fitzpatrick came in.
So that's my list.
So we got the Patriots at number one. So you had, run it down real quick for me. You had Vikings, Texans.
Chiefs.
Chiefs, 49ers at number five. Okay.
Then Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Patriots. Yeah. That's how I'm going to rank them this week.
Yeah, to me, like as I got ready to do these power rankings, as I get ready to give you mine, I feel like there's a big gulf right now between five and four. Like, I feel like, to me, there are four teams right now I feel really good about.
Okay.
There are four teams I feel good about, and I struggled to find a fifth. I don't know if the rest of people – I don't know if everyone else feels that way, but that's how I feel. So, number five, I gave them the nod just because they won, and when you ran through their wins, it does feel like a pretty good group of wins. I know they've played a lot of games at home, and they won a game last night that they maybe shouldn't have won, but I'll give the Green Bay Packers my nod at number five just because they are, what, 5-1?
They're 5-1.
Defense is good. I give them credit for winning without Devontae Adams. If he gets back, the offense will look even better. So for now, I give them the number five nod, but I do feel like there's a gulf between five and the rest of the teams, at least for now. Number four, I went with the New Orleans Saints. That defense travels. Now, we'll see what happens when they get Drew Brees back. Does the defense let up a little bit? Does Drew Brees' style of trying to score quickly, does that lead to either A, more mistakes, or B, just more time on the field for the defense, and does the defense kind of regress at that point? But right now they have a dominant defense and an offense that has enough skill players to score enough to manage the game. Like, they're a versatile team. They can win shootouts, at least we think they can with Drew Brees, and the defense can win these grinded out games against teams as long as their quarterback doesn't make mistakes. So I'll give the Saints the number four nod. Number three, maybe a little weird because the Saints beat this team on the road, but I still think Seattle is better than this version of the Saints from what I've seen. You know, when they played the Saints, they got a fumble return for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown. A little bit fluky. I think if they played again, I would like the Seahawks' chances in that game with Teddy Bridgewater, either in New Orleans or in Seattle. I still think Seattle's better than them. Russell Wilson has been a stud, right? Like, Russell Wilson has been a beast. The only quarterback since 2011 to have a 100-plus passer rating in all six games to start a season. So he's played six games. He's had a 100-plus quarterback rating in all six games. Only two quarterbacks have done that in history. Tom Brady, 2007. Of course, that was the year where Tom Brady put a smackdown on the league through 18 games. Got Randy Moss. Was celebrating, you know, with his emergence by just throwing him many, many touchdowns. He's done it, and Aaron Rodgers in 2011, both of whom won the MVP that season. So Russell Wilson looks to be the MVP favorite at this point. He is playing quarterback at a level higher than everyone else in the league right now, according to me. Number two, a team in the Seahawks division, the 49ers. They just keep rolling. Like, I mean, they beat up on the Rams, and that was without their starting fullback and without their starting tackles. And you might say fullback. What does that matter? Well, that Joskowski, or however the hell you say his name is, he's a beast. He's very versatile for them. He's a good pass blocker. He's a good run blocker. He's a good pass catcher. He is one of their best players, and he helps kind of open up that run game, as, of course, do their two tackles that were out. And it didn't matter. They still were able to win. Their defense has been swarming the ball. That's something they didn't do last year that they're doing now, forcing turnovers. I do wonder what will happen when the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo get in a big game in a tight spot where they have to score to win, because so far they've kind of been able to just control the game. Now, against the Steelers, they had to put a drive together to win. That was back and forth in the fourth quarter. But every other game has just been them kind of taking control and grounding teams to death and suffocating them on defense. But for now, the 49ers are the second best team. I just gave respect to the Patriots, even though they haven't played anybody, even though I don't have a lot of confidence in regular season Tom Brady. It's one of those things that I can put them at number one, and I don't think they're going to lose for a couple more weeks.
I thought you were about to make the move with the 49ers.
No, I made the move with the Chiefs and put them above the Patriots. Then the Chiefs immediately lost two in a row. So I'm just going to – the Patriots aren't going to lose for a couple more weeks. So I'm going to keep them at number one.
Might as well ride with them until then.
Yeah, I just have more confidence of them winning next week than I do the 49ers. So I'm not going to make that move.
Yeah, Patriots, they're going to cruise through that schedule.
Do we miss the mark on anybody, Cam? And did you Is there anybody you think that should be put on here? Because at the five spot especially, like I almost wanted to put the Texans because the Texans have been good, but then I realized that 2 weeks ago they lost to the Panthers, like in Houston, that was a bad loss. Even though the Panthers have won four in a row, like it's still a backup quarterback comes in and beats you.
Yeah, the Texans would really be the only team I'd really think about putting on there.
Yeah.
Like, I agreed with you with the take on the Lions being the better team versus Green Bay, but, yeah, with them losing, you can't really put them on them.
There's a part of me that's like, I'm going to put them on there, but I was like, they're 2-2-1. I can't put a 2-2-1. Like, yeah, eventually you just have to win games. I do think the Lions are frisky. I do think they're a good, solid team. And, but, man, you're 2-2-1. That's not good.
I think I showed a little disrespect to the Bills this week after having them at number 7 last week. They simply didn't play.
Out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind.
I moved them out. But
it turns out that defensive performance against the Titans wasn't really that impressive.
Yeah.
They actually let the Titans move the ball against them.
I like the two-loss Vikings better. And I like the two-loss Texans better and the two-loss Chiefs better. So, sorry, Bills.
I don't think that's disrespectful. I think many people probably feel that way.
Chiefs are a really interesting team right now. I wonder what's going to happen with the Chiefs.
I know. Like, at what point do you panic? Are they panicking now? Because I feel like now, if I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I'm like, yeah, we're probably still going to win this division because the Chargers suck, and we don't trust the Broncos or Raiders to actually be good. So, like, I'm not worried about the division or, like, missing the playoffs or anything, but I'm like, man, this team isn't going to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to start getting nervous a little bit because they figure out Mahomes.
I don't know if they figured out Mahomes, but, I mean, he's looked a lot different, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you know, he went a whole – career without scoring fewer than 26 points, and he's done it back-to-back weeks. And
some say he's injured.
I mean, he might be, but he's also all of a sudden those bad throwing habits aren't as cute when he's throwing interceptions. And there was an abysmal pick he threw against the Texans where he was just kind of off his back foot, fling it with my arm 40 yards in the air. Oh wait, this is double coverage, intercepted. Like, it's cute when it works, and it's phenomenal, but when it doesn't, you're like, hey, Mahomes, baby, man, you got to be a little bit more careful. Like,
I don't think it's cute.
I think it's cute when it works.
It's cute because he's got the baby face, and
it's cute when it works.
He eats his ketchup on his steak and all
that.
He's a smiling guy. Everybody likes him. He's always smiling.
Yeah.
Cute kid. You know, he's got that whole thing going.
I still like Mahomes. I'm not really ready to, like, bail on him or flip it to say he's annoying now, but, like, you do got to take care of the ball a little bit, and when he doesn't do it and you lose, it hurts a lot worse.
I saw some Cardinals fans saying this weekend, like, there were a couple of plays that Kyler Murray made,
yep,
and they said, you know, if this was Patrick Mahomes, you'd see it on every single highlight reel and just how amazing this guy is.
But I feel like as people are posting those highlights saying that, they're also kind of saying, wow, Kyler Murray's so good. So, like, it's one of those things, like, we don't talk enough about Kyler Murray. Well, you're talking about him right now as you tell us that, like, in showing his highlights. He's been really good.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's not getting that respect that Mahomes does.
It happened against the Falcons, bro. Like, Marcus Mariota threw for three touchdowns against the Falcons. Like, I mean, that doesn't count the same.
He still had the whole escape thing, the whole spin around, yep, circle back, and do all that. And, you know, I mean, not all those Mahomes highlights have come against elite teams.
I think Kyler Murray's getting proper respect. He's still going to be a runaway Rookie of the Year winner, I think. So, at least, you know, they split up offense and defense. He'll be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like, I think your point's taken. I saw the play you're talking about where he kind of avoided the sack, ran around, and then threw a strike, you know, 18 yards down the field. But it was against the Falcons, and he does play for the Cardinals. So, like,
You know, it's not his fault.
But Murray's getting better. No, Murray's been good. Murray's been good. The people were worried about him after the preseason or, you know, after the first couple of games. But the first three quarters. Felt good about him against the Lions in the fourth quarter. But Murray's been really good.
Mahomes is playing with an ankle injury, according to the Kansas City Star.
Yeah, not good for them. They go in a short week this week at Denver. They play on Thursday night. Then get through that. They get 10 days of rest before the Packers. I mean, that schedule doesn't get easier. At Broncos, Packers, Vikings, at the Titans, which, I mean, that's a game they're going to win. But, like, the Titans defense is going to get after them. The Titans defense can get pressure. Like, that'll be at least an uncomfortable game for them. They don't get a bye week until, you know, the middle of November, really the end of November. So that'll be they're going to have to figure this out on the fly, not a bye week to rest and get healthy. All right, those were our Week 6 NFL Power Rankings. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports. We are powered by Lloyd's Electric.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer.
I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
Every day from noon to 3.
I said I watched some wrestling. I watched a couple episodes of Game of Thrones. I was talking about the Kingsguard, and...
I don't know, I heard Kingsguard, and it made me think of Game of Thrones.
What were you talking about?
When Jon Snow died.
Ah! Stop!
On 1340 WKGN.
Every time you're not paying attention, I come back with a Game of Thrones spoiler.
What kind of person spoils things for people who are in the middle of a season? It's like the most inhumane thing you can do as a person.
As a radio professional, the rudest thing you can do is not pay attention.
You said Kingsguard.
Yes, Kingsguard, Amon Shumpert.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the Sacramento Kings.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Shawnee writes in, does John Reed know the difference between a bow and a crossbow? You know, that's a fair question. I do know the difference, but I do acknowledge that as I was having that conversation last hour, I was just kind of combining the two. I want to do the bow and arrow. I want the bow and arrow, not the crossbow. The crossbow is like the thing that you like hold and shoot,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
That's what you were talking about. Then I kind of
you're talking about a compound bow. That's harder.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. So that's not that's still manly, right? The bow and arrow is still manly, right?
Yeah, and I don't think the first of all, there's nothing wrong with not being manly.
I want the bow and arrow. Just please let the record show that the crossbow is not what I was wanting.
That's
I just
hard.
Want a regular bow and arrow. Yeah,
that'll put some work into your arm.
Yeah, that's fun. That's
you
what
might,
I want.
I mean, you might pull a muscle doing that.
That's
you,
fine.
You
that's
may need a glove.
Yeah,
I mean that's a
definitely got to get a glove. You got to have a marksman glove for sure.
You, from what I understand, you do have to be, if you're worried about whether or not you're being enough of a man, you do have to be more of a man with the compound bow, I do believe.
Okay. So, yes, fair question by Shawnee. I do know the difference. It's just I do acknowledge that I just kind of combine the two while talking, and sometimes I'm not a very smart man. Sometimes I'm uneducated. Hour two, headlines, go to McClure, collision course, right meow.
Well, sometimes, John, you just can't be educated. Like Daryl Morey. That's what LeBron James said last night. He believed Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey wasn't educated before he sent his tweet in support of anti-government protesters in Hong Kong that damaged relations between China and the NBA. Speaking to the media for the first time since the tweet on October 4th, LeBron declined to comment about the politically tense situation. But he did talk about Morey's tweet and how it has jeopardized the relationship between China and the league, owners, teams, and players, and people on the internet not happy with LeBron's comments.
Well, people were waiting to see LeBron speak, and LeBron, he didn't come out and speak on China. He didn't come out and condemn China. He basically came out and said, Daryl Morey put us in a bad situation. Like, hey, my team was over in China. Could have waited a week until we got back before saying that. Like, your tweet caused a lot of us stress and could have caused us harm. Now, I don't know if, like, you should be saying that's going to cause you physical harm, because if you think that, like, China's going to physically harm the NBA players for a bad tweet, like, maybe don't send them to China, right? Like, there's that. If you're scared that you're going to get physically harmed, maybe don't send them a place you are worried about that. But I do understand that LeBron's saying, look, Daryl Morey could have waited a week until we got back. Then everyone was really quick to latch on to the uneducated comment where he said Daryl Morey was uneducated. You had a lot of people lining up to say, uneducated? LeBron, he barely finished high school.
Daryl Morey went to MIT.
Daryl Morey went to MIT and Northwestern. Like, yes, yes, he did. That doesn't mean that he is educated on everything. Going to MIT and Northwestern does not mean that I would trust Daryl Morey to change the oil in my car. I don't feel like he is educated on how to shoot a bow and arrow. Like, you can be educated in different things. Like, your college degrees don't make you educated in everything. I have a college degree. I know. Trust me, it's not as good as Northwestern's or it's not as good as MIT's, but
there's a lot of things I'm not more educated on than the person who didn't go to college at all, like LeBron James. That was like a, like the easiest way to go clout chasing, I guess, yesterday was to point that out. Do a little clout chasing. Just be like, oh, LeBron's so smart, he went to high school. This guy got 2 degrees in school. I mean, okay. It seems like you were just in a hurry to call LeBron James dumb. Like you, I get it. You think all athletes not named Peyton Manning are dumb. You don't care what celebrities think about social issues until they run for president. Like, I get that. You want people to stay in their lane. Okay, that's fine. But, like, just to latch on to the uneducated comment and be mad about that just seemed like a real easy way to tweet out your little jokes about degrees and feel like you're going to get some attention for it. And
go tweet something that Clay Travis just tweeted. Like, because he said it, so you got to go say it now.
Felt like it was easy to latch on to that, like, never mind. Like, if you want to say LeBron James is a coward for not speaking out against China, that's fine. Like, if you want to say that, I don't even disagree. He is talking about being hurt financially. Like, okay, like, we want him to give up potentially hundreds of millions of dollars to do what?
Well, that's what I would do.
To make you feel good about yourself? Like, I don't understand that because, like, you know, I had people responding to me saying, well, what about, you think he's stressed out? What about the people, what about the Muslims, who everyone all of a sudden cares about, being put into all these camps and having their organs harvested? I'm like, okay, like, let's have a serious discussion then. Do you think LeBron James tweeting or saying anything about that and condemning China is going to change anything? No? Okay. Like, you acknowledge that it's not going to do a damn thing for anything. Like, LeBron's not bigger than China. China's not going to buckle to LeBron James. Like, you just want to have your gotcha moment where you're like, hey, this guy wants to speak out about police brutality against black people, and I don't like that, so now say something bad about China, you coward.
Right.
Say something.
And these people don't give a damn about the Chinese people. They don't care what the Chinese people, they don't care what's happening over there. But the fact that the NBA gets involved in it, now they want to jump into it. And it's because their political ideas are different than those of the NBA players. That's what I think.
It's just, it came down to me, like, what are we wanting here? We want LeBron to come out and all of a sudden be well-versed in international diplomacy or speak out against horrors of, you know, like, some people say it's not a political thing, it's a human rights thing. Okay, well, that's...
Well, why didn't you care about the human rights before? If you're so concerned about the human rights, why weren't you, you know, reading up on the news? They're talking about China in the news, you know, you can see it there. Go research it if you care so much about it. You don't care about it. You care about it now because LeBron and the NBA got involved, and they think differently about things than you do, and you want to take a shot at them.
Like everyone, it seems like everyone is wanting the NBA to make this big political statement about human rights and all this stuff, and they want the NBA to do that. Yet, I'm going to guess the Venn diagram is not a perfect circle, but close to a full circle of the same people who wanted the NFL to stop letting players voice their issues on human rights. Like, they didn't like it when people were kneeling for the anthem as a way to say something about people's civil rights. But now those people want the NBA as a league to come together and condemn China and turn down hundreds of millions of dollars. Just, like, it seems like there's a no-win situation for everybody, and it's hit that point where it just seems like a story that is got a no-win situation in it, I think. Like everyone wanted to latch on to what LeBron said as if he's some uneducated person, when all he was saying was, like, hey, maybe don't send that whenever we're all in China. Like, maybe don't do that. Maybe don't do that. Maybe don't make us go through a week of a firestorm over there because you wanted to voice your support. Like, maybe just wait a week. The issue is still going to be going on a week. Wait till we get home. Can you do that?
I just don't understand why suddenly people want to pretend to care about something. I think it's just because they don't like LeBron and they don't like the NBA. Otherwise, wouldn't they have cared beforehand, before all this happened?
Like I said, it's people just, I mean, it seems like, I mean, it seems like we want an awful lot out of this situation. Like, if you want to rip Steve Kerr, like, I ripped Steve Kerr last week. Like, I mean, the way he went about business was bad. It seemed like LeBron let both sides down here. The quote-unquote left wanted LeBron to come out and condemn China. And the right wanted LeBron to come out and condemn China. They wanted both, you know, both parties wanted him to come out and make some big political statement here. And he let everybody down by doing that, by not saying anything. And look, you have to be you have to acknowledge that he is protecting his self-interest, both for the NBA and the player salary cast, because if they lose that Chinese money, if they lose the $500 million that the that China does with the NBA, that's going to affect salary caps. That's going to affect teams' bottom lines. That's going to affect the NBA's bottom line. LeBron James does have Space Jam 2 coming out that he is going to want to show in the Asian market. Like, it's going to affect his money, and like that is 100% true. He is saying something that protects his best interest. That is true.
As if everyone else wouldn't do the exact same thing.
Very few people. Very few people.
Very few
people.
There's
been a couple.
You don't care about China.
There's been a couple throughout history that were willing to do that, but like, I mean, to try to demand that of somebody else just seems a little
crazy. Yeah, but these people on the internet don't care. They don't care. They're going to do the exact same thing LeBron did. You don't care about the Chinese people. You just want to take a shot at LeBron and the NBA. That's what it comes down to. They saw an opportunity and they pounced on it. And then they saw the same things everybody else said, all the verified accounts and what they were tweeting about, so then they started tweeting the same things. To me, it's hypocrisy. I don't even care what LeBron and the NBA, I don't care. I'm not standing up for them. I don't care what they say.
Like I said,
it's a hypocrisy of being, they are hypocritical of the people they're calling hypocritical. That's what I think.
And there's a lot of that, but like I said, to me, like, I mean, it's like, it seems like an awful lot to like be asking of someone to come out and do. Like, you want political statements now when you didn't care about them earlier. Like, it's just everyone was kind of waiting for a chance to call LeBron James dumb. It seems like there's a good portion of people waiting to do that, so they last on to an uneducated comment and defended somebody that, you know, came out and started talking about his MIT degrees. Like, you're missing the point, bro. Like, you are. You're really reaching here.
To me, talking about how uneducated he is just something that's a lot deeper down than that.
Like I said, people don't want to hear it from athletes. They think all athletes except Peyton Manning are dumb.
Well, they'd be fine with hearing from him if they agreed with him. It's because the societal issues, the bigger things they want to talk about, they don't agree with.
There's a lot of that.
There's
but
a
like
ton
I said,
of that.
But like I said, this was an equal issue for both sides. I can't go all the way in on that with the political ties because, like I said, the left and the right were let down in this situation. You saw everyone kind of disappointed in LeBron, either for different reasons. One side was let down because they thought LeBron was bigger than China, or at least was willing to go out and speak out because he's had the quotes about injustice in America and how everyone has to stand up for each other. So like now they're thinking that he should stand up for China, and you can agree or disagree with that. Like I said, I don't know.
Nobody actually cares about what's happening in China.
We probably should, but
very few people.
I'm saying we probably should.
Yeah, we should. I mean,
we should care more. But
I mean, I at least respect the people that can admit they don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care. What am I going to do?
It's kind of what everyone always says. Like, unless it's going to affect our day-to-day lives, we don't really care.
We really don't. We can act like we care. We can comment thoughts and prayers, but nobody really gives a damn. Nobody cares. It's the people on Facebook. They go comment, oh, what a tragedy. Thoughts and prayers. My thoughts are with the poor people of Syria. Would you take one into your home? No, you wouldn't.
And that was solving the world's political crisis with John and Cody. Any more headlines?
No, I just wanted to get through that.
That was the one headline you had?
I got others.
Would have been nice if you'd have maybe used that for a segment and ran through headlines.
Yeah,
otherwise.
Well, I thought maybe we would talk about it at some point.
So you just open it up with the first headline.
Well, I didn't know we'd go that deep into it. I thought it'd be one of those things where you'd say, I want to save it. That for... You
know. I don't really want to talk about it. Like, I don't think anyone likes hearing us talk about it. I don't think anyone really likes hearing people talk about it in general. Yet we kind of ironically like keep wanting the NBA to talk about it, even though we acknowledge... Like, everyone acknowledges, like, hey, these players don't know anything. Right? Like, the same people who are like, hey, the players are dumb. The LeBron James is dumb. Yet you want LeBron James to come out and speak on issues like this. Like... Just now, where you can see him, like whether or not he has a backbone, and whether he'll say something about China.
Yeah, like, what are you hoping to accomplish?
It's just gotcha. They want gotcha.
Maybe you just want to shame LeBron. It is the biggest sports story going on right now.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
What's big about it? Like now, is it going to be big moving forward? I understood last night that was the talk of the internet last night, but like day two, are we still caring about that? Because
well, it's going on a couple weeks now, isn't it? Like, he sent the tweet on October 4th.
Yeah, but I mean, LeBron brought it back up. It had kind of died down, then LeBron brought it back up.
And it'll die down again. But I mean, right now, today, I feel like it's...
When I was watching some TV this morning, they were talking about the NFL officiating, so I wasn't sure.
Is that ESPN?
Yeah.
Have they tried to steer clear of it a little bit?
No, they've done more about it. They've done more of it. Like they, I think, tried to steer clear of it while they had representatives in China.
Yeah.
Like kind of like, hey, let's get our journalists home. Let's get our people home.
I mean, it's the biggest, you know, divisive issue going on for sure.
I don't even know if it's divisive because, like I said, everyone seems to kind of be on the same side of China's bad.
Well, I mean, everyone, I think, believes that, you know. But it's still divisive from a political standpoint.
All right, good batch of headlines. We'll come back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. A little bit of NFL breaking news, Cody, on the injury report.
Yes. The Bears have placed Akeem Hicks, defensive tackle, on the injured reserve list. Akeem Hicks, big-time interior D-lineman for the Bears, one of their best players up front. So that's no good news for the Bears' defense.
Seems like a big loss for them. Tennessee Titans, first-round pick, defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons. He is practicing this week, so we might see his debut this Sunday against the Chargers. Hopefully he can throw some passes and we can play him at quarterback.
Jeffrey Simmons?
Yeah, otherwise I don't know what that's going to do for us.
He's got a pretty good right arm. Pretty strong right arm from what I've seen. So maybe it's worth a shot, you know? Nice side arm, you know? I've heard he's probably pretty good on the run, too. Although he does get eventually apprehended.
Feel good joking about.
And the more I keep this going, the less funny it's going to be.
You feel good about that?
Yeah. I don't know if I have any other references.
Okay. Also, the Titans have announced that they're breaking out all the big guns. King Mason Ramsey.
Yes.
We'll be performing the national anthem before the Titans and Chargers game.
That's big. That's big news.
We are desperate. We're throwing out our navy blue pants, our baby blue tops. That's the first time we're breaking these out. We're bringing out Mason Ramsey to sing the anthem. Our first round pick is up and running. He's ready to go, hopefully. We are breaking out all the guns.
So going baby blue on top of navy blue?
I'm excited for it. I think it's going to look good.
I do like the Titans' two-tone blue. That's a pretty good...
Many people hate on the two-tone blue and say we look like we belong in the CFL. Some even go as far as calling them the Toronto Titans. But,
well,
I appreciate the color schemes.
I like the color schemes for the Titans. That red in there with the two-tone blue.
Yeah.
So Mason Ramsey. Coming all the way to Nashville just to sing the national anthem. He probably lives in Nashville.
I think he lives in Nashville now. He's done some stuff with the Titans before. Like at their draft party, I think he hung out there. Really bad that they're going to make him watch this game because the Chargers-Titans is going to be really dumb. We talk about loser-leaves-town match many times.
Yeah.
This feels like whoever loses this game is going to be eliminated from the season. If they're not already. Like, you know, I was dramatic about the Titans after Sunday. I do think, you know, there's still a route they can try to claw to 9 wins. I don't think that's going to be good enough for a wild card, but maybe. I doubt it.
The Titans?
I just think there's a way they can claw to 9 wins. Like, I do think if their quarterback position gives them anything, if the offense improves at all, they'll be back in games. I do think they have a playoff-worthy defense. But
yeah,
it also has a chance
to
get really ugly.
Tannehill's going to be the guy, right? I mean, they're not.
They haven't announced yet, have they? Titans never announced who was good. They said 24 hours. I don't think we've got an announcement yet, right?
No, I haven't seen anything. I mean, would they stick with Mariota?
Have
you not seen enough?
Did you see the argument going online yesterday? Like Mike Vrabel came out and said, hey, we're going to make our decision over the next 24 hours. The Titans Twitter account tweeted out a picture of Mariota and Tannehill and says, you know, basically had Jim Wyatt, their beat reporter that they pay, writing a story basically saying, Titans to decide on quarterback future. And then Delanie Walker, starting tight end, saw it and got mad and was like, this is dividing the fan base, and you wonder why our fans act like this. And some people were like, yeah, how dare the Titans do that? And other people were just like, he's just saying what Mike Vrabel said in a press conference, bro. Like, we're just transcribing the press conference for clicks. Like, this isn't us creating a controversy. This is what your head coach said to everyone.
You can't win for losing sometimes.
Seems like that sometimes, right? So, like, have we seen an announcement, Cam? Have you found one?
I have not seen anything yet.
And like you said, know,
could happen during the show, though. Well,
yeah, I mean, 24 hours. We should be out there soon. Bringing out national champion Vanderbilt baseball to be the 12th Titan. Mason Ramsey. Trying everything except maybe a quarterback change. It seems like you said, Cody, a pretty much a no-brainer. Like, the offense has been really, really bad, right? The offense has been trash. Like, what else do you need to see?
I mean, I don't know what else there is. He's had what year was he drafted? 15? Or 15? The 15 class?
Yeah, but yeah, he played in 15.
He played
15, 16, 17, 18.
14.
Yeah, 15, yeah, this is his fifth year. 15, yeah. 16, 17, 18, yeah.
I mean, is the sample size not big enough at this point?
Man, he's been...
I know he's had good moments, but, I mean, it's time for a change.
He's had moments, and look, I went to the game week 17, right? Week 17 against the Colts, playoff spot on the line, and Mariota didn't play that game. But I was there talking to people, and some people who know some people, and some people who work for the organization were there, and they just kind of told me, because I was mad about it. That he wasn't playing. I was like, this is soft. Like, go out and play. And they're just like, bro, like, he can't feel his arm. Like, he, to the point where he might retire in the offseason. Like, his nerve damage in his arm is just really messed up. And you've seen that this year. Like, he looks like someone who cannot feel his arm. So I think the hesitancy to move on is like, A, like, they don't think he's healthy. But it's a year where he has to be healthy. It's a year where you have to make a decision on him. It's his last year of his contract. You have to either decide, are you going to franchise tag him for like, you know, $26, $27 million next year and give him one more shot? Are you going to give him a long-term deal? Or are you going to let him go? Right now, it seems like you're going to let him go.
Yeah, I mean, even if he's healthy, it just – I don't think it's worth delaying the future of your franchise for, is it?
No, it doesn't seem that way. But I understand the hesitancy of this staff to want to move on, because when you move on, like, whenever you announce that Ryan Tannehill is now your starting quarterback, that pretty much ends Marcus Mariota's career in Tennessee. And some people would say, yeah, so what? But the organization, for that, for them, it means, well, now we got to find a new quarterback. And could you have a potential stopgap? Could Ryan Tannehill be good enough to be your starting quarterback next year and you still draft Jake Burrow or a Jake Fromm, Joe Burrow, excuse me, and let them sit a year? Yeah, maybe. Or would you have to go get a veteran quarterback like an Andy Dalton or a Cam Newton or maybe a Philip Rivers? Jameis Winston, like somebody. Are you going to have to go out and get somebody to bring in and be a stopgap? Because, look, this is why this was so important this year. Like, this roster is built to win now. Like, you laugh because they're 2-4, but, like, the defense hasn't given up more than 20 points all year. The defense is full of good veterans and good young players. Like, it's a good roster. You've spent a lot of money on the offensive line. I know they suck and can't block, but you've spent a lot of money and a lot of draft picks on there. You spent high draft picks on your receivers, and I know you don't throw them the ball, but you've spent a lot of money and equity there. So, like, it's not like it's – we're not like the Miami Dolphins. We're like, okay, let's just tear it down and get rid of our couple good players and just really tank. Titans have too many good players to do that.
Right, right. Will they – I mean, they'll still have next year, right? They'll still have the roster intact for the most part and everything. I mean
– right, but, like, I don't think maybe you turn that roster over to a rookie quarterback.
I don't know.
Especially with the coaching staff you have. Like, I don't what. Like, that's another thing. It's like,
that's another thing.
If this team goes in the tank, like, you're going to be looking at a completely new coaching staff. And, like, are you going to be able to hire a good coach if you're like, yeah, we're immediately going to blow up this roster and tank? Probably not.
No, you can't do that. But, I mean, I know that it's to just bring in a rookie quarterback and rely on a rookie quarterback is risky. But if you've got the pieces around him, I mean, in today's NFL, you've seen young quarterbacks have a lot of success. I don't want to say Joe Burrow's the answer. Like, he could be the difference in 10 wins and 7. I don't know.
When's the last time we've seen a rookie quarterback come in and win a lot of games, though? Like, is it all the way back to, like, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco? Because both those guys made the playoffs their rookie year. Has there been another rookie I've missed that's, like, led his team to the playoffs? Like, I know Baker Mayfield got all the credit last year, but they're, like, 7-8.
Mahomes.
Like, he was a second-year guy. He set a year.
Yeah.
They set Mahomes a year because they're in a similar situation as the Titans were of, like, hey, we got a good roster. Let's just, you know, they actually stuck with Alex Smith, who, like, you know, they had been there a couple, you know, been there a year or two before. Like, hey, we'll let him kind of continue this, but we'll try to hit a home run for the future.
Well, 2 years is too long to wait for the Titans, right? I mean, you can't just prep your quarterback for 2 years hoping that whole roster will still be intact, and then that's where you make your run.
I don't know. Like, you still got some young pieces. Now you'll lose a couple of those guys, but if you keep trying and keep trying to improve the roster and keep it good, you should be in an okay situation. Like, everyone keeps advocating for a teardown and tank for Trevor Lawrence. Like, man, that we don't know if that works in the NFL.
No, and then when you do that, then you got to go back and take more time building a team around it.
Right, then you have to go and build a whole new team. Like, we don't know if that works in the NFL. We see the Dolphins trying that.
There's too many pieces in the NFL for that to work.
Yeah, you got to have a good line. You got to have a good defensive line. You got to have a good secondary. Like, you got to have a lot of pieces. Like, you can't really tank
as much
and throw
as
away a whole season. You have to get lucky for it to work. Like, the Colts, it's one thing when you lose Peyton Manning, right, and your team immediately goes in the tank because you're starting Curtis Painter. That's one thing. It wasn't like the Colts tore their team apart to get Andrew Luck. They just had their starting quarterback go down. They immediately went back to the playoffs the next year.
Right.
So maybe Andrew Luck is that answer. Andrew Luck's done it more recently than Flacco. Or do they actually make the playoffs? They made the playoffs.
Russell Wilson. He took up the playoffs as a rookie year. So
what
Andy
year was
Dalton,
that?
Actually.
Dalton and Luck did it. Yeah,
Russell took him to the playoffs. I think RG3 won the playoff game.
Yeah, he did. So that would be – when was that Luck draft class? Like 11?
12.
11 or 12. Okay, and like Flacco and Ryan are like, oh, well, 8?
Yeah, 08.
Okay, so yeah, those guys would be more recently. So is our last example 2011?
Yeah, it must be.
Which is more recently than I thought. I forgot about Andy Dalton, and I forgot about Russell Wilson. Of course, how could you forget about Russell Wilson? But even then, I would say that was kind of luck with Russell Wilson. Like, it wasn't like you spent a first-round pick on Russell Wilson. You got him in the third round and put him into a really good team, which is something that the Titans could theoretically do here.
I mean, sometimes you got to have a little luck, though. You know?
Do.
I mean,
for sure.
And especially, I just don't know if it's worth it, like, in today's NFL to just try to – I know if you know you've got a franchise quarterback, then it would be worth it. But the problem is that's too much risk. I mean, if you were to tank for Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I'm not convinced Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I think he'll be good, but is he the second coming of you know what I mean? I mean, I don't think he's going to have as much hype coming out as Andrew Luck did.
He has cooled down a little bit.
I mean, with the way he's played this year, he's thrown more interceptions than the other top-level quarterbacks. I mean, right now, I mean, Burrow, Tua, maybe you'd rather have one of those guys. I think the move for the Titans is try to get Burrow.
And then just let him start year one?
Well, I don't know if you let him start, but
if you think you got
a chance to win.
My idea is, like, I think we're going to be in a – I don't want to call it unprecedented because I'm sure it's happened before, but it feels like – the first time in a long time, at least since I've been keeping up with football. Maybe I'm missing something, but this feels like the first time you're going to have maybe 5 or 6 veteran guys on the market at quarterback.
Can one of those guys be the difference, though?
This kind of goes back to what we've talked about here in Knoxville, man. Like, you just need an average quarterback play. You just need someone who can make open throws. Now, maybe that doesn't mean that the Titans could ever be a championship contender with an average quarterback. I don't think you could do that because the coaching staff's not good enough and your skill players aren't good enough. Like, you need something. It's not kind of like Jared Goff, just let him go out there and throw it around, you'll make it to the Super Bowl. But, like, you see somebody who can hit open passes and, like, play above average quarterback, but, like, not great or even good, just above average. And, you know, while this defense is still elite, now this defense could fall off a cliff next year, and like maybe this is all off or not. But
you want to at least get something out of this defense, even if it's not a Super Bowl. Like, get a good playoff run.
Yeah, this team's good enough to be in the playoffs. Like,
get a division title.
The defense was top three in the league last year, and they're got to be hovering around the top three again this year. And you're 2-4. You just can't win. And those guys are going to get a little bit older and be gone. And who knows? But like I said, this feels like we're in kind of uncharted territory. When you look and you see, I mean, Andy Dalton could be moving on. Cam Newton, we'll see what happens with them, because the Panthers are 4-0 with Kyle Allen, right? I don't think Kyle Allen's great. I don't even know if Kyle Allen's good, but he's winning and he's hitting open receivers and the defense is playing good and he's not making them one-dimensional and he's not bringing the team down with his injury. Like, we'll see what happens with Cam Newton's healthy, and apparently he's going to be back and practicing after the bye week this week, right? So, like, they might have a decision as soon as the end of October on what they do with Cam Newton. He's owed a lot of money. They can get out of it if they cut him in the offseason, so he could come on the market. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, it might look like it's smart for them to tear it down.
Well, if you could get Phillip Rivers out of that deal.
I would love to get Phillip Rivers. Alabama boy, just bring him back to Nashville.
Even
like,
if you just get a year out of him, a year or two, you know. Like,
oof, man.
Guys like that are getting, like, Cam's, you know.
I don't know about Cam. Like, I don't know. Like, the Cam we saw before he got shut down was not good.
Cam's not old, but he's taking so many hits.
He's had the hell beat out of him.
And that Titans O-line is like, I don't know.
Right. So, like, Cam.
I'd be worried about Cam.
If he's healthy, though, I still think he's good. And I still think if he can get back to where he's mobile, that's good. And like I said, I think that would be fine with this defense. But I do think you're going to have a handful of veterans. I mean, Eli's going to be available. I don't want Eli. But he'll probably, if I'm Eli, you just retire, right? Like, instead of going to another team to try to do something. Hell, Nick Foles might be back on the market.
I mean, for where Mariota's at this point.
Maybe the Titans just trade with Jacksonville and get Nick Foles.
You probably take most of those guys, don't you?
Yeah, and like I said, we'll see what happens with Tannehill, because if he gets a full week to prepare and start, we'll see what they do with him. There's going to be a lot of quarterback shuffling. And like I said, even Jameis Winston, which I don't think the Titans would sign just because of the Mariota comparisons. But, like, Tampa probably franchise tags Winston and gives him one more chance. I don't think he's been bad enough to get cut, whereas I do think the Titans are probably just going to let their franchise quarterback, I use that very, very loosely, the guy they drafted to be the franchise quarterback, probably just let him walk. And, boys, that will be the second quarterback that the Titans have drafted the top of the first round to be their franchise quarterback that they just let walk. Be the third. Vince Young didn't. Vince Young never got the extension either from the Titans, right? Like, he was gone within 5 years.
Yeah.
Jake Locker just up and quit football. He's like, enough of this. I've made my $20 million. I'm going to go hunt. He's like, I'm just going to go live outdoors and do what I want to do. I've made enough money. I don't need to get the hell beat out of me anymore. Forget this.
He went and got himself a bow and arrow.
He already had one. He's like, I'm going to use
a new
it.
One. He got him a new one, probably.
A really nice one.
I'd go get Joe Burrow. Do that stopgap thing, like you said. You know, find somebody to fill the void in the meantime and try to win the division or something. But
that would be my plan if I'm running things.
Man, Joe Burrow, if you get him in the middle of the first round,
that would be my plan.
I think he's a steal.
We'll see what they do. They're at a crossroads, though, and we kind of knew that all year that this was going to be the case. That this year was really important. And so far it's gotten off to a disastrous start.
Either way, though, I think the answer is obvious that you have to play a different quarterback.
I wonder if any this almost never happens in the NFL. Like, I wish the NFL was more like the NBA in this regard. Like, it feels like all these quarterbacks could kind of help a playoff team, too, like right now. Like, Chicago. The Bears should be on the phone with all these teams. Like, hey, Phillip Rivers, what will it take for you to send us Phillip Rivers to come play in Chicago?
Maybe the Rams. You know, Phillip Rivers is already in L.A.
Just, hey, just give us Goff. You can have him. Like, we'll pay some of that money. Like, you just take him, Chargers.
I mean, just a straight-up trade. Like, you know, Phillip Rivers is old, man. And Goff is young. At least you can mold him into something, maybe.
You never have that in the NFL because playbooks, I guess, and just personnel and all that. But, like, seems like there's a bunch of quarterbacks who could help some middling playoff teams. Like I said, if you could tell me that Andy Dalton or Phillip Rivers or could end up in Chicago, that team becomes a lot more serious than they are with Mr. Trubisky.
Vikings might become a Super Bowl contender. I mean, I know Cousins yeah. has been good for two yeah. weeks, but.
It doesn't work that way, though. Hour two in the books. Hour three on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. It's Talk Sports, powered by Lloyd's Electric.
Lloyd's Electric Services is the region's most trusted service provider and a leader in mechanical and electrical service, industrial maintenance infrastructure, and commercial building services. Commercial building maintenance doesn't have to be pieced out to different companies. All of your facility maintenance needs can be handled by one trusted Knoxville company with a service record that speaks for itself. The LES Facility Service Division believes that facility maintenance should include it all. HVAC and refrigeration, Lloyd's deals with all top brands in HVAC, commercial and industrial units, chillers, and restaurant equipment. Telecommunication, Lloyd's is a trusted source for all fiber and hybrid coax installations. Let their team of highly qualified technicians upgrade and maintain your network. Their around-the-clock service repairs are available anytime, day or night, 365 days a year. Commercial, industrial, residential, Lloyd's does it all. Contact them at 865-692-6700 or online at LloydsElectricService.com. Lloyd's Electric Services, your business, our priority.